Hello and welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Co. podcast. I am your host, Eric Podwatchke, and every Thursday I'll be releasing a new episode where I interview different key leaders in the Bitcoin industry. So if you're looking to learn more about the industry or what it's like working for a Bitcoin company, please subscribe and follow along. And this is also a reminder that Bitcoin Talent Co. is the first recruiting firm dedicated solely to the Bitcoin industry. Our mission is to equip Bitcoin companies with the top talent in the world. So if you're looking to get a job in the industry, or if you're a Bitcoin company looking for recruiting services, please head over to our website at www.bitcointalent.co. For the first inaugural episode of the Bitcoin Talent Co. podcast, I sat down with co-founders Andy Thompson, Michael Tanguma, and myself as we discussed the launch of the new company. Michael Tanguma previously worked at WeWork and Google before taking his talent over to the Bitcoin industry, and now serves as a VP at Unchained Capital, as well as a partner at 1031 VC. And Andy Thompson previously worked at Uber, where he grew their staff from 100 all the way up to 1,000 and more employees. Also founded a recruiting firm called Craft Talent before now focusing full-time on Bitcoin Talent Co. And lastly, myself, I was working at Bitcoin Magazine, the Bitcoin Conference, before taking the full-time role here at Bitcoin Talent Co. So I'm excited to dive into this new company and explain some more about what we're up to. Enjoy. Okay, here we go. First inaugural episode for the Bitcoin Talent Co. podcast. I got my two co-founders here, Michael Tanguma and Andy Thompson. Thanks for joining me this morning, guys.
Good morning, Eric.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so Andy, I want to jump right into it. So what's your background? What's your Bitcoin story too? How did you come to this?
I know you know this, but for our audience here, so we'll start with the first one. My background, you know, I've been in the recruiting landscape my whole career, you know, and tech companies and agencies supporting tech companies. So Bitcoin Talent Co. is, it's coming from a space that I've spent, 10, 12 plus years at this point. I've had the fortune of working at some of the most exciting companies, in the tech landscape. I was actually an early employee at Uber. Goodness, going back nearly 10 years ago now. So back when it was still an exciting startup, back before it was the household name, the public company that we know now, right? In that time, I mean, I saw the company grow, no lie, from hundreds of people to tens of thousands of people. It's unbelievable the kind of growth that we went through. One of the, I think, rarest kind of growth arcs of any company in the tech landscape. And I say that, I focused on that point just to say that, I was able to learn how to hire at scale. I was able to get a PhD in recruiting in an environment like that, but also see some of like the pain points and the issues that can arise when hiring isn't done correctly or when hiring processes are broken, right? Just all the downstream effects that can take place in that scenario. And so, a wealth of information, wealth of learning in that time. Beyond that, I, like I said, worked in agency settings where we supported early stage tech companies. Getting a good breadth, mix of industries, roles, that kind of thing. And then ultimately culminating with my own founder journey, right? I actually started my own recruiting agency a little over 3 years ago now. So for the most recent 3 year period, all through COVID, I've actually been running my own business, a recruiting firm, again, for the most part, focused on that early to mid stage tech landscape, supporting, B2B companies, B2C companies, everything within those two buckets. And as I've said time and time again, it's been going well. It's been exciting. My own journey as a business owner has been incredibly fulfilling and rewarding. But as this kind of path has been progressing, to the side of that has been my journey as a Bitcoiner, right? And I've mentioned some of this in previous podcasts and in my little blog post, right? But I entered the space in 2017, but I can't claim that with confidence because I wasn't fully in yet. You hear 2017, mm-hmm. You think that was an incredible time to start. I was curious, bought a little bit here and there, but then I kind of let it be. I didn't really stick with it to my chagrin much. I didn't really learn everything as much as I could have back then. And so I kind of continued going in my fiat world, if you will. Then several years later, March 2020 happened, right? I think there's a lot of people who now are Bitcoiners who probably entered in this era, if you will, right? Just saying everything that's happened over the past 3 years, pandemic induced and otherwise, right? Just so many like eyes being opened, the veils being lifted to really just how global finance works, right? And for me, it was just, something about that time is like a strike of lightning. Like I was in now. I really understood the space, wanted to learn more. And so, like I said, literally the mirror image of the 3 years as a business owner, coming with like my journey as becoming more and more of a Bitcoiner, dabbling in other areas to eventually wind up, you know, full blown, you know, Bitcoin maxi. You get to the point where, as everyone can probably attest, every Bitcoiner can attest, you can't live in two worlds anymore, right? You can't have your fiat job, your fiat life, and then your, you know, Bitcoin obsession to the side. So how can you marry business with pleasure was essentially my thought process, right? And so towards the end of last year, 2022, started to think of how I can enter the space. Seems so obvious now, but I was going through this thought process for a couple months where ultimately I said, goodness, I mean, I've made a business, a product, a service that can prove relevant in the Bitcoin landscape, thinking of how we can connect companies with talent. How can we bring people into the landscape, right? So, yeah, long story short, made the call to start repurposing, reorganizing my existing infrastructure, my existing business, and dedicate that to supporting Bitcoin-only companies. And so that was right at the end of last year. In doing so, I, as you both know, I knew that to do this in the right way, it was going to take much more than just recruiting expertise, right? And that's what I brought to the table, right? But what I was missing was industry knowledge, having already operated in the industry, I mean, having had contacts in the industry, right? And so as a recruiter does, I cold reached out to both of you here. It feels like forever ago now, but it's just been, you know, a couple short months where I pitched you on my idea, told you what I wanted to do. To your credit, Eric and Michael both, you guys were immediately understanding of what I was trying to accomplish. You saw the potential. You had ideas that I didn't even have yet, right? So I think there's a real kind of like, you know, lightning in a bottle type scenario where the conversations progressed, really got to work, and here we are now, you know, officially live, having launched Bitcoin Talent Co. and already supporting companies in the space. And it's been an incredible, yeah, short journey so far.
It has been quite incredible, honestly. It's, yeah, a few short months, and we're already off the ground running, officially launched. Still can't believe it. Yeah. So, Michael, I'm curious now, your Bitcoin story, your background, and then what were your initial thoughts when Andy reached out to you?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. And, you know, to echo those sentiments, it's been we launched, I'm not sure exactly this podcast is, we're about 4 days after launch and have had hundreds of applications and a bunch of, you know, inbound interest. So we're really excited to be out into the wild. And as far as the background and Andy approaching, I guess maybe working back from Andy approaching, I think we both have this unique experience or overlap that maybe a lot of folks don't necessarily have yet in the space, coming from more traditional technology, big tech firms. I was previously at Google and WeWork and also a YC-backed company, but then also falling down the rabbit hole and understanding that really seemed like heavy operational chops and like what human capital and talent is required to really scale a business. And so when he came and kind of we started talking, I think like in real time, I just started like thinking out loud about like, and I don't even know actually when I think back at this, I don't even necessarily know if it was like, hey, you know, a call or there's something to reach out. And then it was like, he didn't even say, I don't think, now that I'm thinking about it, it wasn't like, oh, there's this idea. It was like, he said something. And then I was like, oh yeah, there's definitely recruiting in Bitcoin. Like that's obviously like this thing that's missing in this space. Mm-hmm. And, thinking about, there's like these two angles. One is on the venture side and investing and knowing that you need human capital, and having this thesis that I think we all have is that the majority of like talent hasn't come into the ecosystem yet. And we've seen it at these big companies, but then on the other side, operating and scaling on chain from roughly 10 people to 100 plus. And there was this real bottleneck from bringing on a recruiter to having to get them onboarded to understanding Bitcoin and understanding the specific nuance with a Bitcoin company, like an Unchained, and every Bitcoin company practically has that. So then having to hire, and then the cyclicality in the market, and either them potentially leaving because there's just not enough work, or just the state of the market and growth and what we've seen, and not just Bitcoin and macro, where there's just been layoffs. So yeah, that's kind of like on the back end and where it just made so much sense. My, you know, traditional story is regular tech, you know, SaaS-based firms, Google, WeWork, found the bug. I was from Texas and went to New York City in 2016, I believe, 16, 17, and transitioned from Google to WeWork right when they got that $4 billion check from SoftBank. And it was just a very interesting time because it was happening during the time Bitcoin was running up while we were, you know, money was being printed and $4 billion was basically getting lit on fire at a global scale. And so there was just like, just this dichotomy and this contrast. of loose money and understanding it. And I think it's even in the Bitcoin standard where they talk about like when you have dislocation from money to value and you have like growth and then you don't actually complete a lot of these things because there's the cost of capital and what happens. And that's actually happened to WeWork in the real world. There's buildings that are still standing that have like half done and they just like stopped or leases. And there's so it was a fun journey. End up being an early client of Unchained Capital, realized that like most Bitcoiners, you have to take your keys into your possession or at least into a way that a central entity can't hold them. Went down that rabbit hole and thinking about, was it Casa? Was it Unchained? Was it, you know, holding a key under a mattress? Same thing on the lending side. And so became friends with Parker Lewis there in 2019. And he always said, you know, if you come, when you come back home to Texas, we should talk about getting you plugged in at Unchained. And so we had been in discussions in late 2019, early 2020, and then saw that journey. And what that's been probably one of the best things that happened from a career perspective, because there's a lot of things like 1031 and the fund's growth coming out of that. And then, you know, ultimately leading up to meeting you guys and this kind of next stage and bringing in human capital into the space, whether it's for venture firms, people stuck at Bitcoin company or traditional companies that don't know how to get into them. Like, we really want to be that that connector into the ecosystem.
Yeah, I think that's a great background. And just to tie in myself too. So I remember I was working at Bitcoin Magazine a few months back and Andy Cold reached out to me. I think I ignored him on Twitter by accident. And then he reached out on LinkedIn. I was like, yeah, let's set up a call.
Recruiters we're persistent.
Yeah, exactly. Recruiters are persistent. So yeah, we hopped on a call and the rest was history. But I was thinking about just this whole landscape jobs from the candidate side. I'm thinking, how can we get more people into this space that are already Bitcoiners and then people that don't even know if they like Bitcoin or not? How do we get that talent in this space too? And then we tied it all together with, okay, a recruiting agency, and then maybe down the line we can even provide extra resources, education for people to get in the industry as well. So that's when the light bulb went off in my head. I was like, oh, we got something here, because no one else is really doing it. There's a ton of crypto recruiters out there. No one focused on the Bitcoin landscape. And I think there is a big dichotomy between Bitcoin and crypto in general. So we're trying to fill that niche right now. So that's my quick background, how I got into it. I guess now tying it back into Michael. So Michael, you've seen both the traditional, I guess, fiat, if you will, landscape, the job ecosystem there. And then you also worked inside a Bitcoin company, Unchained Capital. And you've seen it grow. I don't know how many employees, but it has gone through such a big growth stage. What is the biggest takeaways between, you know, traditional fiat companies and Bitcoin companies in your mind?
I think the biggest one is culture. And I come from this perspective. It's not like the standard answer where, like, at WeWork, independent of what people say about it, and this is probably like map similar to Uber, that had some of the best human capital. And it makes sense now in retrospect over Google, because Google probably early on had, you know, the premier, but over time that kind of like starts to dissipate and move out into the market. And so WeWork had that, but WeWork also had really heavy culture, because the whole concept was people were working there. The tagline was to make a life, not a living. And there was this recognition that people were essentially just maybe rotting is too strong of a word, but they were sitting in these cubicles at, you know, these legacy firms, and they had to be there. And this was pre COVID, right? So people were tied to desk 40 hours a week, commuting 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And it was this concept of what Google really did early, which is still controversial, but I think it was directionally right. It like created, energized spaces that weren't just like have one thing to do. You had it activated and you had activities and you had these other things that made it not seem like you were just stuck. And so people really bought into that, whether it was right or wrong, but there was this culture. And when that happened, there was people that would work from 8 a.m. To, you know, 8 p.m. And the thing that most people forget is like WeWork was a hyper growth company, but it was at physical locations. So those millions of square feet being built, so it required actual designers, engineers, construction. And so it required an insane amount of effort. And I saw the same thing at Unchained Capital where, and I think this is the same as most Bitcoin companies, is people are ideologically aligned, they're mission driven. And so they're really thinking like a business owner and going the extra mile versus just trying to kind of like fiat mine and take a paycheck and go home, mm-hmm. and go to sleep. So I think that's really the positive. And that's just like all Bitcoiners in general, right? When it comes to like self-learning, most people I think identify as probably didn't like going to school, didn't learn well, but then they went down the rabbit hole and then that's all they do. They can't put down the information. I think it maps similar to work. Once you're in it and you're working for a Bitcoin company, you're basically all in. And then that's, you know, it goes to the venture side where people just end up starting things because they're like, all right, I got to just kind of do this for myself.
That's so true. And just to echo what you said, I was working in that dreary gray cubicle office, you know, a couple years back in my engineering job. Oh, man, it gives me nightmares just thinking about it. But I would literally, as soon as like 4:30 p.m. hit, I would race out the door. I was like, I'm getting out of here. And then once I started working in Bitcoin, it was literally the opposite. I was spending all day, every day, just researching Bitcoin. Now, at Bitcoin Magazine, too, I would always joke with my coworkers. I was like, I just like love working. Like, it's just fun. So there's definitely a split between the two different worlds here. And that's why I'm just so bullish on Bitcoiners and the community, too, because I think being mission-driven really really puts Bitcoin companies at such a higher elevation than other traditional companies out there. But, yeah, so, Andy, going back to you now, I guess back with Craft Talent, your previous recruiting firm, what were some of the struggles companies faced when hiring? And how do you think we can bring that what you've learned through Craft Talent into the Bitcoin ecosystem to help companies?
Yeah, I mean, these learnings aren't exclusive to the past 3 years, right? Or in that capacity as a business owner or recruiting firm, right? I mean, in general, there are many things that we have long known to be issues that can arise when going through, you know, recruiting processes, trying to find the right talent, right? So a number of those, just to try and you know, summarize, it's like something as simple as like having a well-defined recruiting process. My goodness, I mean, it seems so obvious, right? But actually establishing that from the jump, right? You know, what are the steps? And let's write this on paper, right? What are the steps? Who is speaking with this candidate at each and every step? What is the purpose of each of these calls? What are we trying to accomplish? What's our rubric, so to speak, right? So all of these things like really need to be defined before even going to market, before even talking to candidates, right? So ultimately, when you have people coming into the process, when you have responses, you have people applying, right? You can efficiently like process, you know, the interviews themselves. You're thinking of this as like a machine that you want to build, especially, goodness, if you're doing it at scale, right? Thinking of efficiency, you know, time saved, that kind of thing. And then ultimately, to make sure you get the right candidate, it's having that well-defined interview process so that it serves as like a measure for like equity in the interview, if you will, right? Like making sure everyone's going through the same process, making sure everyone's being asked the same questions, right? Mm-hmm. You don't say, I like John for one reason and then Sally for another, but neither of those are like mapped to your true North Star. So how do you actually decide who's the right candidate, right? So these things are super important up front. Beyond that, I mean, being able to clearly articulate who you are as a business, what you're trying to accomplish, what this role seeks to you know, achieve in that mission overall, it's kind of like a cascading effect of like, this is what we're trying to do, you know, up at the top, and these are how the roles and the teams below that, you know, all support that endeavor, right? So being able to pitch that, you know, it's part of like selling your role, selling your company to a candidate, right? Mm-hmm. And lastly, I mean, not lastly, there's tons of things, but the last thing I'll mention is probably having a well-defined compensation philosophy, right? So it's, yes, like the number, you know, salary-wise that you're looking to offer, but more broadly, like how are you pitching, again, your company, the stage that your company is at, what that means as it relates to, you know, cash versus equity versus other kinds of compensation, you know, variables there, being able to package this in a way where you're selling the overall opportunity, right? So it's you know, poor negotiation or poor like understanding of incentives and motivation is where things can fall apart at the last minute too. And so as a third party, as a, you know, resource that will support companies, you know, in all these endeavors, like making sure that we, you know, can provide expertise across all those areas is really where the value is. I mean, sure, companies can post a role, they can have someone internally reviewing applications, that kind of thing, but that's, you know, not even half the battle, right? So to have a thought partner who can, first of all, just spend the time it requires to put together an interview process, talk to hundreds of people to ultimately get one hire, you know, that's an obvious, you know, value and time saver, right? But then again, to make sure that we're holding hiring teams accountable to everything I've just said and ensuring that we get them the right candidate in the end of the process is where the value in having this kind of external service comes from.
Right. Yeah. So it's really coming down to refining that process and making sure it's airtight. So,
exactly.
I guess along the lines of that as well, along with the process. So let's say you're a leader in a Bitcoin company right now. You have 5-10 employees or so. You're ready to go to the next step and you're trying to decide, do I hire an internal recruiter or an internal recruiting team, or do I hire someone like Bitcoin Talent Co. to kind of offload this in a way? Can you just kind of go through the differences of either option?
One thing I'll say, just to make this point clear, and for anyone who's listening, any companies who are listening, right? You know, we will always act, as like an augmentation of what it is you're already doing from a recruiting standpoint. If you have no resources, obviously, yes, we can do everything for you and be very valuable. If you have a recruiting team in place, we can still, again, augment whatever pipelines they're building. We can work in conjunction with those teams. So it's not mutually exclusive in that sense, right? We support large companies, small companies, teams with, built out talent functions or none at all, right? Those are all potential clients of ours. For us, it's just making sure that we can be a resource that is easily flexed up and down. I think maybe this is the biggest point to make, right? Especially as companies, we have our overall macroeconomic, kind of cycles up and down, right? We've had a few of those crammed into a 3-year period, which has been really, unheard of, right? But, we will always go through that, right? In Bitcoin, we have at least over the past couple of years, past couple of cycles, those we'll call it on average 4-year cycles, right? We'll see if those continue in that same time frame, but Bitcoin has its own, dynamics, right? Because of those cycles through the halvings and things like that. The point to make is that companies may be very short-sighted in their hire, scale back, going through hires, going through layoffs. I mean, it's so short-sighted. We see this again and again. It's happening all the time right now. Unfortunately, talent teams are one of the first to get cut, right? So I just, I know this all too well, right? But to allow companies to be more thoughtful in plugging in resources that can be cut if and when the need arises, and to have that be okay to make that kind of business decision, is something that ultimately I think will prove more valuable. I actually have this thesis broadly across all industries, not just Bitcoin, where the external talent partner, the recruiting process outsourcement firm, all these types of small recruiting shops are actually going to see kind of a renaissance, right? I think it's going to be a very popular space to be in across all industries, again, just because of the pain that companies have felt scaling up and then scaling down too fast. These knee-jerk reactions, again, that do cause a lot of pain, that cost a lot of money, that waste a lot of time, right? Let us just plug in for whatever the need is. If you're hiring 60 people today, you won't be hiring 60 people at the end of the year. Great, we'll do that for you now, and then we'll part ways until the need arises again.
Right, yeah. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, it's something I'd be curious, Andy, in future point to riff on, or it's maybe a blog, but you're so close to this recruiting landscape, having done it, that you it's all the things that in Bitcoin you see inefficiencies in a particular segment of the market. And so just knowing that, whatever the term is, headcount chasers and traditional fiat companies, it's all about pulling as much headcount, and even from a startup perspective, it's I have a 100-person team. And I think we see this, and we know that from a Bitcoin perspective, it's you want to have the leanest, highest, most operational efficient organization to get your the best margins. And so to that thesis, what you're saying about consolidation, it's why would you want to hire a recruiter to go hire a bunch of people versus okay, let me augment that, have it structured. So I think it's very interesting thought to go down.
I've never said this publicly, but that's kind of, it's kind of a misalignment that we've seen over the past, we'll call it decade plus, right? Just over a decade now. Yeah, the growth at all costs tech environment, the insanely, valued fundraising rounds, especially in growth, B, C, D series, fundraising stages, right? Where tens of millions of dollars come in and you say, hire. Your main priority is hire. To do what exactly? And so, yes, growth is important, and extra human capital is required to bring in to get to a certain scale, sure. But I think people lose sight of that, and hiring itself becomes the goal. And that's, I think that touches on what you're saying. It is counterintuitive in that sense, where, yes, obviously we're looking for profits and we're looking for margins, right? These are for-profit businesses, right, who should be run as such. But they sacrifice to that to some degree when they overhire. And this always happens. It always happens. It's amazing to see this time and time again, right? So hopefully we're getting away from that to some degree. I think that's a low/zero interest rate phenomenon, right? Just hiring, spending money you don't have yet, those kinds of things. I mean, it just sounds crazy that that's become commonplace now. But we can go on a huge tangent on that, but it's a phenomenon that has caused a lot of pain. And I'm hopeful that we do kind of rein things in a bit. I think inherently Bitcoin companies are already going to be opposed to some of that style of operation. But I hope, you know, outside of Bitcoin, just, you know, the world at large kind of reins that activity in, right?
Yeah, I think without going too far, it's like something to tease out that maybe for another pod is that reeling in, like, Bitcoin jobs are scarce. And jobs had inherently not been scarce because of this capital, lack of capital constraints the past decade. But there's this thought, like, where that actually reverts. And then what does it require for just, whether it's recruiting, finding a job, what do you have to produce before getting into the application funnel? Everybody knows the Reddit post with people working 3 or 4 jobs. That can only go on for so long. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting things that will come out of the next decade in tying, you know, real world energy to value and then how people find jobs within that ecosystem.
Definitely, yeah. And we hope to provide some of those resources and education to get more people in the ecosystem. How do you stand apart from the rest of the crowd? Just one more thing I had in my mind, really, to your point before, Andy. Bitcoin companies tend to put a lot of their treasury in Bitcoin. And so the cyclical nature of Bitcoin, I experienced this 2021, 2022. You see the price of Bitcoin go up. So that also means the company, I guess, has more money to spend. So they go through a hiring spree. And then after that, it crashes and they don't have enough cash on hand to keep paying out employees. So they got to make these tough layoffs. And I think that'll repeat at least one more cycle. We'll see. And yeah, well, I'm hoping that doesn't happen as much and Bitcoin companies stay a little more lean here and make the right hires, especially with our help. So yeah, shout out to all the Bitcoin companies that weathered this storm this past cycle and still around. I want to switch gears now to our advisors. So we gathered a nice team of 5 core advisors. Maybe Michael, can you dive into who they are and how they're going to be helping us out? Hi, you're on mute.
There we go.
Yeah, I'll mute again.
Okay, I'm off.
There you go.
So, yeah, I think the idea with the core advisors, it helps strengthen the company and brand in a number of directions. The premise is we have certain principles that we understand, whether it's recruiting, operations, growth. But when it comes to design, engineering, and other verticals, there's things that we just don't necessarily know or have intimate knowledge of. And so between our network and folks that we've either worked with or have some kind of relationship, we've brought on, in no particular order, Justine from Unchained Capital, who really leads education and business development. There's obviously a huge opportunity there in the education space, whether it's through educating on why not Web3 and Bitcoin, or also just really as folks get onboarded into the ecosystem or into a company, what does it look like to really ramp up that time and reduce the ramp? And then Rockstar Dev on the engineering side, who's an incredible resource, who's helped build Strike's team to what it is today, and also an open source contributor, or one of the core open source contributors to BTC Pay Server. Rockstar is an amazing person in the ecosystem, has built teams globally. And so on the engineering side, we know that there's definitely a scarcity in short relative to talent in the space. And so how do we pull folks in there? CK on operations. So Christian from Bitcoin Magazine has been there for, I want to say, at least close to 5 years, if not longer. He has now the title of, I believe, general manager. And so he's really kind of like spearheading that. I know Bailey very well. And he kind of handed off a lot of those reins in the past 12 to 18 months. And CK's obviously taken that company to a really great place and with a conference happening every year. And so he has an interesting spot in the ecosystem, being in the center of it, really, to be able to support, whether it's thinking through education, operational scale, and really just getting to the closest spot to folks coming in and what does it look like to help them get plugged into, whether it's with us or other companies. Sahil, can't forget Sahil on design. So Sahil is also another individual that came actually from Silicon Valley. He has a startup there, really heavy background in design, also leads the Austin design community, and he works with Unchained. And so he will really help in just building out. I think this is something that Marty Bent, who's another advisor coming on the mining side, has always had this it's not an issue, but this thought that we don't have enough good designers in this space. And I think Andy would say that we don't have enough good designers in any space.
It's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. So whether it's UI adoption, really excited to have Sahil in that lens and that community help get involved. And then, as mentioned, Marty, who has been in the space close to 10 years and really spans across media, mining, venture, but particularly on the mining side where we don't necessarily have full kind of like operational expertise and plugging into that whole sector that's continuing to grow. And then I'll kind of like leave it maybe if you guys want to talk about the bounty on the design side.
Yep, I was about to go there.
Nicely. Yeah.
Sure, I guess I can riff on it for a second. So obviously, myself, Michael, and Andy, we're all not designers. So what we're doing is we're reaching out to the Bitcoin design community and we put a bounty out. We need a logo for Bitcoin Talent Co. So if you're listening to this and you're a designer or you know a designer that'd be interested in earning some sats for an awesome logo design and brand guidelines, please head over to our Twitter. We have a full thread on it at Bitcoin Talent Co. You can see all the details there. But yeah, I think we're handing out like close to 4 million sats, something like that. For the total bounty, top three prizes.
Total purse is 5, if I want to say.
Okay. Gotcha, yeah. So head over there if you want to submit a design for us as well. I think they're going to be due early March. So this should be released in a day or two, and then you'll have a little over a week to work on it. And then we're going to announce it at Austin in the Bitcoin Commons at the South by Southwest Bitcoin Takeover Week, too.
Yeah, for good friends at TFTC Talking Business on the Air, we should probably do a Bitcoin Talent Co. URL/bounty so folks can go to our website and submit all of that info. So hopefully by the time this comes out, we will have that up as well.
Yeah, good call. Cool. So that's the bounty. Next thing I want to touch upon is education. So there's two different ways to think about this. I think it's for all the Bitcoiners right now thinking about exiting their fiat job, if you will, coming to work for a Bitcoin company. How are we thinking about education by providing resources, templates, all that kind of stuff, resume templates? And then the flip side, how are we thinking about educating companies on bringing in talent from outside the industry?
Yeah, we can both take a stab at this, Michael. But, you know, education, I think, is it serves so many different purposes. It's a flywheel to everything else we're trying to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe with that point being made, it's important to say that like the educational content should be available, should be free, should be accessible. I'll say this too. I mean, there's great content that exists out there today, right? So I can count to, you know, so many people, right, who I look to in the space, who I learned on my journey, right? What we're trying to do is not reinvent the wheel. It's more more packaging it in a way that is relevant from a talent lens. So someone coming to the space, how do I get a job? How do I, why Bitcoin versus everything else, right? You know, again, through the lens of like ultimately entering the recruiting process for a company who's hiring, right? Mm-hmm. And so thinking of like different self-guided modules, you know, accessible on our site, that's going to be really important for potential candidates, for the Bitcoin curious to be able to access, you know, freely, right? The form that takes, I mean, more specifically, obviously, that those are things we're working on behind the scenes now, working with our advisory group, and we're excited to, you know, obviously share more when the time comes. But that's on the candidate side. On the other side of the fence, we also see a really exciting opportunity to help Bitcoin companies to onboard and, more importantly, retain talent that they've hired, right, by providing educational, information and access to, you know, a wide array of modules that can allow people to kind of like integrate into a Bitcoin company better. The reason why this is going to be so important, I think, is because we will go through another cycle. We will have another uptick, right? Both in price, but also in terms of interest. I think those two always map very closely, right? And so when people are coming into the space in mass, you know, through that next cycle, it's not that companies will have to sacrifice a requirement or lower a bar, right? We're obviously going to be focused on finding the best operators, the best people from a discipline and a skill set standpoint who can plug into these companies and be that kind of like difference maker. But they may not yet be like hardcore Bitcoiners. They may not be running a node, right? And I think that's okay. You know, this I always want to stress. It's okay. It's more people who are just expressing interest and learning about the space. They are curious. They know enough, right, to understand like maybe to some degree what Bitcoin is and why Bitcoin's different, right? but they're not experts, right? And so for these companies to obviously like secure that talent, that's the right kind of talent as soon as possible, but then take time over the next weeks and months as a person, you know, kind of onboards with a business to get them to that level of like Bitcoin expertise. I think that's something that's gonna be very valuable that a lot of companies will look to offer. It's something that companies have offered in the past. So again, you know, giving away our secret sauce here, it's like, this is not reinventing the wheel. These types of programs have existed. A lot of what's out there, again, is more multi-coin, Web3, DeFi type information. Yep. So for us, it's about like just, you know, kind of reining that in, you know, simplifying it, bringing it back to basics, offering it as Bitcoin-only content, and allowing companies, again, to offer that to their new employees.
Yeah, I think, like, thinking through the bookends of the education example and then going into like a practical use case or something that I would love to see it unchained. Like, so we have the top of funnel of somebody that doesn't know anything about Bitcoin or Web3 and what does it look like to be packaged on why Bitcoin and that kind of that thesis, and then maybe intro mining or why proof of work makes sense. And then there's the back end bookend of like somebody working at a mining financial service, Bitcoin company, Fidelity, whatever the firm is. And then they want to upskill themselves and go really deep on a certain vertical, whether it's because it's just self-learning or it's for the business. Mm-hmm. And then the middle one, where I think is probably the most practical and will help Bitcoin companies, help Bitcoin Talent Co. and help individuals, is there's incredible talent out there that is best in class at whatever it is, financial services, design, education, engineering, but they're missing like this one applicable, and they may even know and are interested in Bitcoin, but they're missing this like one part that makes them perfect for a role, whether it's Strike, whether it's Unchained experience, it was really understanding multisig and really understanding just the game theory around why you don't necessarily want to leave your Bitcoin on an exchange, but you also have this trade-off with holding a key, and then really understanding the practicality of like, well, why does this make sense? And then in a world where, you know, Unchained disappeared, that you actually weren't at risk of your funds. And so being able to just like go through something that you could feel that viscerally, because on Unchained side, hiring somebody for that, if you're going to say, hey, we'd like you to be a client of Unchained, there's all these benefits, and you're holding, you know, $1 million in Bitcoin, that person really had to understand the underlying architecture of what that means and probably be some kind of user before they could be fit for that role, because it's very hard to convince somebody to put money in something that you don't use. And I think that like translates across the industry. And if we can figure out those like small parts and then share them in a digestible way for like the 300 people that came in, there's probably some that fit in that bucket that have an interest in design or whatever, and there's principles that can be shared over the course of the next X number of months until that right role comes up. And the previous world would have been like, oh, they just didn't have it. Nobody gave them any information. And so now in 6 months when Strike's hiring a design for Lightning, if they decided to do this, now they're in a perfect spot versus not being in that spot and still being at that kind of traditional fiat role. So it's still like open-ended, as Andy said, and figured out like, well, what is the exact process? But that's kind of how like conceptually I think it can at least translate to like real world kind of value moving forward, at least to start.
Yeah, I agree. What I found surprising so far, just in our initial calls with a couple of different Bitcoin companies, is the level at which they require a potential hire to be a Bitcoiner or not. So we've spoken to some companies that like, hey, they just needed like a 101 base level knowledge of Bitcoin. And I guess what's the community like, the ethos, all that kind of stuff. So it's a good culture fit. We've also talked to companies that request hardcore Bitcoiners that have that 201, 301 level knowledge. And we're going to be providing resources for those 101 candidates, but also tapping into the community for the 201, 301 level type of hires that require 1,000 hours or so of research to really understand Bitcoin from a very deep perspective. So I'm really happy to build this out too as well.
Yeah, I mean, that touches on just the reality of, we talked about this previously and internally, like, you know, if Unchained or name the company wants to go from 100 to 1,000, there might not actually be enough like people with that 201, 301 knowledge. And so it's like, yeah, how do we actually ramp them up to get them enough to be in a place to be dangerous? And there's obviously like the real world kind of learnings as you're operating as well that like augment or help supplement that.
I've said this before a number of times publicly, but you know, to build even just the Bitcoin companies of today, but more importantly, the Bitcoin companies of tomorrow, those that are yet to be created, right? To do that, to staff those companies with only existing like Bitcoiners is not going to get the job done. It's just not. It's not a big enough space yet with people who are both, you know, subject matter experts in their discipline, their profession, right? But then also in Bitcoin, right? And so that's a lot of like what we seek to do to increase the talent pool is really what it is. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the lens through which we're reviewing all these efforts we're trying to do. How do we get more people into the space? That's almost our North Star, if you will. How do we get more people into Bitcoin? Second layer is like, how do we get the right operators working at the right Bitcoin companies to obviously like go through those, you know, larger inflection points and increase adoption, that kind of thing. But it's ultimately just get more people to understand Bitcoin, right? And then ultimately want to work in Bitcoin, work for Bitcoin is how I say it too. Yeah. Cause it's a very unique industry in that, you know, there's companies, again, B2B, B2C, building, you know, Lightning wallets, building infrastructure for businesses to transact on the Lightning Network. I mean, all different kinds of products that need to be created that are important, right? But they're all also at the same time in support of this one idea, you know, of Bitcoin being the soundest form of money, of Bitcoin being able to really, you know, kind of revolutionize how things work today, kind of bring us back to basics in so many different ways. And that's unique. And I think it will be an advantage for this space, having such a overarching theme to which everyone can subscribe, right? And so that's what I want to focus on, like getting people to understand that. And then, yeah, go find a company that matches with, you know, the particular background you have, but just, you know, first understand why working for Bitcoin is so important.
Yeah, and personally, this company excites me so much, Bitcoin Talent Co., because the impact we can have on Bitcoin and the road to adoption, really. Think about if we're able to get the top executives at Google or at Uber, whatever company it may be, we get them to come operate within the Bitcoin ecosystem, building the next stage of Bitcoin companies. This whole industry is about to take off, and I'm happy that we can play a role in, you know, at least help staffing it up and educating people. So really excited about the future. And then touching more into the future here, as we wrap up, what are you guys excited about over the next year? And let's say another 5 years from now, as Bitcoin takes the next leg up, let's just say Bitcoin's at 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 per coin.
It's not even the price though, right? I mean, as we all say, like,
it's not about the price. One Bitcoin is one Bitcoin. As the price goes up, now Bitcoin companies have more resources to deploy.
I kind of say that in jest, but the truth is this. Yeah. Obviously, an increase in price will have a number of second order effects, positive effects, right? People kind of give each other a hard time for trading back to fiat, but if it can change people's lives, so be it, right? Let everyone make their own personal decisions from a financial standpoint, right? You know, get you out of a debt hole that you're in, whatever it is, right? So that will be an exciting thing for a lot of people to really change their lives for the better, right? I plan on holding long term. I think a lot of us do, but mm-hmm. other, you know, second order effects of the price increase will clearly be interest. I said this before, right? You know, those two things map very closely. Price increases, interest increases, Google searches increase, right? And so taking advantage of that next leg up, the next cycle, to again, bring more people into the space. You know, there'll be more eyes on it. There'll be more coverage, you know, across media outlets, whatever, right? So taking advantage of that, using it as an opportunity to throw that net out and grab more people, bring them into the space and teach them more about just number go up, right? But to answer your question, I got so many things I'm excited for. I mean, the next year, right? We may still be in a bear market of sorts in a year. So for me, like the most important immediate kind of focus is just continuing to establish our name and our reputation, the services we provide in the space, right? I am excited to one by one, company by company, just support the hiring needs of existing Bitcoin companies. I'm mm-hmm. hopeful that even in the next year, we'll see more companies sprout up. We can play a part in helping to build them from an early stage, but that's it. You know, not overcomplicating this, not getting too far ahead of ourselves. We just really want to provide a valuable service to as many companies need that service, right? 5 years down the road, I mean, we'd be looking at a very different world as Bitcoin adoption grows, right? We may be looking at a number of different things that Bitcoin companies need beyond just talent. And so I always want to be, you know, kind of close to that pulse, right, of what else we can offer, whether it be education or even going further, right?
Yeah.
So the evolution of our company as Bitcoin, the industry, continues to grow and evolve is something that, you know, maybe we don't share everything we have in mind right now, but obviously those are exciting things for us to think about for the future, for sure.
Definitely. Mike, you want to touch upon your 1 in 5 year?
Yeah, I think on the immediate term, I think the one also ties into the five, but there's this cliche in life that like relationships are everything, or you know, the capital. It's like the Unchained experience has been probably the most transformational or impactful thing that's happened to me, because it put me at this epicenter in the middle, from whether it's clients that turned into investors or friends, and everything that led up to today. And I think what we're doing here will be that amplified, because being at the center of, you know, not only the Bitcoin ecosystem and working with founders, world-class founders, but then also folks looking to break into the space. And there's no telling what happens with those individuals. So those individuals may go start companies. They may go be part of companies. They may be founders of companies. They may go do nonprofit stuff. Like there's no telling, but by bringing in the diverse set of, you know, whether it's us or the advisors, like that's just an incredible position to be in. And then the 5 year, I think Andy kind of touched on it. Like one of the interesting things is like, what is the role something like this plays in education from top of funnel and people in the ecosystem, and maybe, you know, helping save them the touching of the stove with like the Web3 DeFi crap. But then also like, you know, there's this thought that like every, you know, it's like saying a Bitcoin recruiting company today is like, will be the equivalent of saying, you know, an internet recruiting company in whatever, 1995.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, then all these companies eventually they need Bitcoin talent, but they also need Bitcoin education. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, well, what is the role to actively play in Orange filling like the largest companies in the world and helping educate them? And it'll start with a sliver, right? It's like, oh, what is Bitcoin? Why is it 21 million? What, you know, enforces a hard cap supply. But then the next level is like, oh, how do I get POS system and Lightning set up? And how do I run my own, like, you know, multi-sig setup because I want to have my own infrastructure.
Right.
It's like, what does that look like? Is another just incredible, like, rabbit hole to think about. And that's like a 5 year thing where if it plays out, it's going to take a while for something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Just the rate of technology too. I could see that coming quicker than we expect too.
That always does.
See. Yeah. And I think for me, something I've been helping out with Andy and the recruiting side of things over the past couple months. So I've been talking to people outside the industry, just pitching a few different Bitcoin companies we're working with to help hire for. And now seeing them kind of go down the rabbit hole, it's so awesome to see. I have a couple of different guys that I've been talking to asking me, hey, you got any extra resources for me? Hey, I was looking at this company too. What do you think about this? So over this next year, bringing all this talent in from outside the industry, and then what are they doing in 4 or 5 years from now? Mm. You know, they could be leaving the next company. I don't know. So that's what really excites me, to see the progression of talent that comes in here and how they build and grow over time too.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I love everything that we're doing, and I'm super bullish on Bitcoin Talent Co., Bitcoin overall, and the Bitcoin community too, and Bitcoiners. All right, I think that's wrapping it up here. Andy and Michael, do you guys want to give the audience your social tags, your Twitter, LinkedIn, and how to contact you?
Yeah, I mean, we can obviously tag all this below so you don't have to write while we're speaking, but I mean, first of all, you know, feel free to connect with us at Bitcoin Talent Co., BitcoinTalent.co. That's our website. A lot of information you can find there. Directions to our general application if you already are curious about finding a job in the space. You know, we can take your information, the kinds of roles you're looking for, and always keep that information top of mind. Socials. So again, on Twitter, we're at Bitcoin Talent Co. My personal Twitter is at TheAndyT. So that's TheAndyTee. You also find me on LinkedIn. I mean, again, we'll link to all this information, both from our website and in these notes below.
Yep. And my handle on both LinkedIn and Twitter is mtanguma, mtanguma. I think the one thing to leave is you know, feel free to reach out, whether it's through the application or if you shoot us a DM, we try to respond to all of them and get you at least in the email funnel and be able to share whatever information that you're kind of looking for. I don't know if we'll forever be able to do that, but ideally we can scale that way.
Yep. And if you are a Bitcoin company or a leader in a Bitcoin company and need some help with hiring, you can just go to our website, bitcointalent.co. It's not .com, .co. And you'll see a button that just says get in touch with us. So fill that out and we'll get right back to you. And lastly, I guess you can follow me on Twitter. My @ is @epodrules, EPOD. RULZ. and LinkedIn, just search Eric Podwatchke and I'll pop up. So feel free to reach out whenever, and I'm happy to build this with you guys. I'm really excited over this next year, 2 years, whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for your time, guys.
Thank you, everyone, for watching.
See ya.